Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
The word that the Lord has led me to share this morning is from John 15, verses 1 through 8. John 15, 1 through 8 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Kind of tied into the last song in worship this morning, God loves us. God loves you, but God wants to get the best out of each of us. I say that at the beginning of this, it sounds like they're opposing one another, that God loves us, but he wants to get the best out of us. Hopefully by the end of this message today, I can change that to God loves us and he wants to get the best out of us. I believe I put it that way in the front part because I think we are excited about and are ecstatic about the first part, but we may not be as excited about the latter part. He loves us, but he does want to get the best out of us. Jesus is preparing his disciples as he is on his way to Calvary. And he, in his last words to them, he's expressing himself over and over again, his love for them. In the upper room at the Last Supper, he tells them, I love you. New commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He shows his love by serving them, by washing their feet, and then telling them, do this to one another. I love you. I love you. Chapter 14, he encourages them because he's been telling them that he has to leave them. And it's hard words for them to bear, to hear, to even comprehend. He says, I got to go. But in his love, he says, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'll send a comforter. I'll send someone like myself. And it's good that I go away so that I can send him to be with you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Chapter 16, he goes back to the comforter, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, even as he was preparing them for what lies ahead and some of the dangers and the struggles. He says, I love you. I'm not going to leave you orphan. I'm not just going to abandon you. I love you. Even in chapter 17, he prays for them, not only for them, but for all those who would believe in their word. He loves us. But couched into that conversation of love is chapter 15. He loves us, but chapter 15, he wants it to be clearly understood that he has something for us to do, and he wants to get the best out of us. John, the Apostle John, he is attuned to hear a few words, certain words from Jesus. He picks up every time Jesus says, I am, in the Gospel of John. Every time he says, I am, John takes note. when he says, I am the living bread, and I am the resurrection and the life, and I am the gate, and I am the good shepherd. Every time he hears those words, ego I me, before Abraham was, I am. And John just writes it down, perhaps in his heart, that the Holy Spirit can bring it back to him. Here in chapter 15, Jesus says again, this I am statement. I am the true vine. And my Father is a garden dresser and a vine dresser. I am the vine. Briefly this morning, I want to just share with you that God loves us, but he wants to get the best out. He wants us to produce and bear fruit. And I want to give you four things this morning, four ideas from this passage. God can get the best out of us, out of me, out of you. One, when we understand our role. Jesus, in this true vine message, similar to what a boss would do when you come to your job on the first day, explains the clarity of roles. The boss will say, all right, let me tell you what the parameters of your role is here. I'm your boss. And you are my employee. Here's what you are to do. I believe Jesus here sends a clarity of role for all of his disciples. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. My Father is the vine dresser, he's the gardener. He can get the best out of us when we understand our role. I hope it's comforting for us to know that our role simply is to be a branch. Isn't that good news? That we're not the gardener, that we're just a branch. That's what our role is here. God is the gardener. He's the one that tills the garden. He's the one that makes sure that everything grows. Our job is just to hang on to the vine. That's good news for me. Because there are times when I want to step outside of my role and take the role of God. It's not our job to grow anything. It's our job just to hang with Jesus. And if we hang with him, he will bear fruit through us. We don't even have the power to do anything. We don't have the source. He is our source. He is the power base. All we are is just a branch. I hope this morning we can just take that responsibility off our shoulders when we're trying to make ministry and we're trying to make things happen, and all we're supposed to do is just be a branch. That's all he's called us to do. I believe that that's the only purpose that we're here, to just be the branch, the connection, stay connected with Christ, and bear fruit. It's not natural for a believer to not bear fruit. It's natural for us to bear fruit for our God and King. I believe that when he said this, they may have been reminded of Isaiah chapter 5, when God shared his song with Israel. And he told them, his beloved vineyard, he says, I put you on a very fruitful hill. He said, he dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted with the choicest vines. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. God says, I've done everything that I can do, that I have to do to make sure that you bear fruit. But it didn't bear good fruit. It bore wild fruit. Verse 3 says, oh, now inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge please between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? Psalms 88:11 says, you brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade. The mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. God expects us to bear fruit. There's an expectation that should come out of every believer. Not wild, unsanctioned, unholy fruit that should come from our lives. Well, what fruit is he talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked in your thoughts. Fruit of repentance. John told those Pharisees that came to him, John the Baptist says, there ought to be fruit of repentance from your lives. In other words, there ought to be evidence that you have turned from your sinful ways and you have turned to God. There ought to be fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Paul says in Galatians 5 that there ought to be evidence that the Holy Spirit is in us, that people should see love, they should see joy, they should see peace, they should see long-suffering. There ought to be kindness coming out of us, gentleness and goodness, faithfulness and self-control. Thirdly, there ought to be fruit of reproduction, that we ought to be making disciples. Jesus' last words was not just flowery words and says, I love you, I can't wait to see you again. That was understood, but he says, go and make disciples, work. He wants to get the best out of us. They will know us by our fruit. An apple tree can't produce oranges. A fig tree can't produce grapes. Jesus says here in verse 8, he says, this is what gives God the greatest glory, that we bear much fruit. Our greatest purpose is just to be a branch and hang with Jesus, and fruit is born in our lives. So when we understand our role, I don't have to be the gardener. I don't have to do it by my strength. If I just stay connected, bear fruit. But I think also he'll get the best out of us, not only when we understand and stay in our lane, if you will, but also stay in position. 12 times here in this passage, he shares this word, minnow, abide. Over and over again, if you count abide and remain and continue, it's the same word, abide, abide, abide. It means to hang, stay, remain, continue, dwell, tabernacle. Jesus doesn't have a stuttering problem. He's saying, you need to hang with me, stay with me. And he uses this illustration of a vine and a branch. Hang, stay, abide. And we take that and say, yes, Lord, he wants me to stay with him. But yes, he wants us to stay with him. But the purpose in this context, you stay with me so that you can bear fruit. I think this is where it breaks down in this analogy. Jesus is the master teacher. But I think that the analogy of the vine and the branch breaks down because you don't have to tell a branch naturally to stay with the vine. It does it naturally, doesn't it? But because we have the freedom to choose, we can choose to hang with Jesus or abide with him and stay with him, or we can choose to go our own way. He says it over and over again. Abide. Stay with me. Hang with me. Be with me that you may bear fruit, because without me you can't do anything. There is an expectation that we bear fruit, but we got to stay in position. We can choose to stay in our normal position of being connected to the branch, our source, or we can choose to disconnect and position ourselves towards another source every single day. We have to stay in intimate fellowship with God every day. Have you found that may have been difficult for you, even as a student, even as a faculty member, even doing the work of God or studying the things of God? You can disconnect yourself from Him Himself. As a student, I've learned that if I just use this Bible as a textbook to turn in an assignment, my heart can go cold and I lose a sense of why I'm here to begin with, because I'm not with him. I'm doing his stuff and learning about him, but I'm losing fellowship with him. Thirdly, he can get the best out of us when he gives us his personal attention. It's interesting here that Jesus said the gardener personally attends to his branches in verse 2. He says that those in him that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Don't be afraid of that word take away, because when you look at it in this original language, it's this word arrow. It means to lift up. Some take that verse and says, if I don't bear fruit, then he's just going to cut me off. That's not what this verse is saying. The gardener wants every vine, every branch to produce. But to take away, arrow means to lift it up. What he's saying is that gardener is trying to find out why that particular branch is not bearing the fruit it's supposed to bear. So he will lift it up so it can catch more air and catch more light. In other words, he will reposition it so it can get the light and air and the nutrients it's supposed to get. Isn't that good news? That when we're not bearing fruit, God doesn't just cast us off, but he gives us his personal attention. And he might reposition us. If you ever feel like your life, once it seemed like it was fine and then it started turning upside down, it may not be your life is turned upside down, but what God is doing is turning it right side up so you can be repositioned so you can bear fruit for him. I got this issue of carpal tunnel right now that I'm fighting with, and I got to wear this brace. And the doctors tell me, put on the brace so that you can keep your wrist straight. Because these first three fingers are just very painful, but if you keep on the brace, it'll be repositioned so it can be functioning properly again. Maybe God has you in his embrace so he can reposition you to do what he's calling you to do. Some of you might say, well, that's not me. I'm doing good. I'm bearing some fruit. He'll still give you his personal attention. Because the next part of that verse says, if you are bearing some fruit, God, the gardener, will come and prune you. He will cut some things back in your life so you can bear more fruit. See, God knows that we can get comfortable with doing good things. And what I've learned, I think I heard this in one of my classes, good is often the enemy of what's best. We can be comfortable doing good stuff, but God wants to get the best out of us. So he'll prune some things back in our life that you might be saying, but that's good stuff. But he says, but I want to prune you so I can get the best out of you. Cut some things back and help us to focus in so we can do a few things well versus doing a lot of things poorly. I love it that God gives me his personal attention because he wants to give the best, get the best out of me. Notice the progression. He moves from no fruit to some fruit to more fruit, to more fruit to much fruit. And then if you get down to verse 16, he says, fruit that will remain, last beyond your time. God wants to get the best out of us. He loves us. But he wants us to bear fruit for him. Lastly, I want to say this before I close. God wants to get the best out of us. And when he works on us, then we will see his promise. John 15:7 saying, this is the promise, a promise of this section. If we stay in position, if we allow the word of God to lift us up, because he said we are washed clean by this word. If we allow it to prune us and cut us back some, if we abide in him and our word, that word abides in us, it says we can ask what we will and it'll be done unto us. If we allow God to work on us, if we stay in position, stay in our role, and if we allow him to personally attend to us, even our prayer life will bear more fruit. You can ask what you will, and it'll be done. It's not a statement of saying that you can ask anything, but because you've allowed his word to wash and clean you, because you've allowed him to personally attend to you, because you've abided in him, what your inquiries and what your prayers will be suspiciously like what he would want. And so you ask according to his will. And John in his letter says he will hear us and give us the petitions that we ask. If we delight ourselves in him, the psalmist says, he'll give us the desires of our heart. I'm learning God wants to get the best out of me. If I stay in my role, if I try not to be God and be Jesus, but just hang with him, allow him to do what he wants to do. If I stay in my lane and Stay in position. Stick with Jesus. That's all we got to do. Hang with him. And if I allow him to do his work through his word in my life, it's painful, that pruning process. It's painful when he repossesses us, but he's trying to get the best out of us. I'll notice my prayer life will change, and I'll be praying what he would have me to pray, and I'll see more fruit in my life. God loves us, and he wants to get the best out of us. God bless you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.